Podcast 7, The Good Shepherd. The Gospel reading for today's podcast is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. In the Gospel reading for today, Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd, and that as the Good Shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus also notes that he knows his own sheep by name. If you've ever had anything to do with sheep, initially, like me, you may be slightly offended being likened to a sheep in this passage in John 10. My father-in-law, Deb's dad, was a sheep farmer, and occasionally I would help out with some of the mustering and moving stock from one paddock to another. Sheep, in terms of the animal kingdom, are not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer. When you're trying to get a struggling sheep out of the fence it has got tangled in, and there are hooves flying and kicking, I would sometimes long for an animal with a little bit more intelligence. So, as a disciple of Jesus, being compared to a sheep is possibly not very flattering. But notice the respect Jesus, speaking as the shepherd, shows for the sheep in this passage. There's no sense of condescension or treating the sheep as inferior. All the shepherd's concern is to show care and respect for the sheep, and to provide them with the best of everything. Having a flock that's small enough so that you know every sheep by name is quite a foreign concept in places like New Zealand and Australia, where flocks of sheep often number in their thousands. It reminds me of a story of a lifestyle block owner who had 6 sheep that needed shearing. So he phoned a shearing contractor, and the contractor said, we've got 7,000 down at Mungarudgee next week, and then 3,000 at Wangaratta on Thursday and Friday. How many sheep have you got?
6, said the lifestyler.
Oh, 6,000. We'll need at least a week for that.
No, 6.
Oh, that's okay, only 600. We can do that in a day.
No. Just 6.
There was a long pause, and then the shearing contractor said in a slightly strangled voice,
"Could I have their names, please?"
However, unlike sheep farming in Australia and New Zealand, in the Middle East, flocks were often quite small and owned by the shepherd themselves or managed by the shepherd on behalf of another owner. It was common for shepherds to name all their sheep and be able to recognize individual sheep. A shepherd's main responsibility was to shelter, pasture, and water their flock, as well as keeping them safe from wild animals and thieves. In terms of the Old Testament Jewish faith, there was a biblical link in Ezekiel 34 to the idea of the Lord being the shepherd of the flock, including the idea of thieves or false shepherds. The Good Shepherd, Jesus, is the Davidic Messiah of Ezekiel 34. The Pharisees are the false shepherds, described by Jesus in verse 10 as the thief who comes only to kill and destroy. Ezekiel 34 is the lens through which we should view what Jesus says here in John 10 about being the Good Shepherd. Of course, the other well-known Old Testament reference to God being a shepherd is Psalm 23, written by David, himself a shepherd in his younger days. This psalm has been a source of strength and comfort for Jews and Christians for thousands of years, and affirms God's generous love and care for his people. The well-known words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Shepherds in Jesus' time were sometimes looked down on by the more devout Jews because they could not rest from their work on the Sabbath, so they regularly broke the law in regard to keeping the Sabbath. However, on the other hand, there was the fact that Israel also had a tradition of leaders who were shepherds at one point in their lives. King David and Moses are two examples of key figures in Jewish history who were shepherds. So although the nature of their work meant they could not keep the letter of the law in some respects, in terms of Jewish history, there was no shame in being a shepherd. I don't think they were the despised outcasts in Jewish society that some modern commentators seem to portray them as. In the Gospel of John, there are several instances of Jesus aligning himself with the Old Testament concept of God as the Good Shepherd. As well as the Gospel passage John 10 for today, in John chapter 21, Jesus encounters the disciples after his resurrection. In that encounter, he has a conversation with Peter, asking Peter if he loves him. He does this three times, and after each affirmation by Peter that he does love Jesus, Jesus replies with a command to Peter straight from the mouth of the Good Shepherd. Firstly, feed my lambs. Secondly, take care of my sheep. And finally, feed my sheep. A number of commentators make a parallel between this encounter and Peter's denial of Jesus in the high priest's courtyard before Jesus is tried. Peter denies Christ three times. Jesus asks him the question three times. However, there is nothing in this context that would require Jesus to respond in terms of a shepherd. It is something Jesus does spontaneously and reveals his conformity with the nature of God as the Good Shepherd, which is outlined in Ezekiel 34. Now, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is contained in this passage. As Jesus talks about how he, the Good Shepherd, cares for the sheep and meets all their needs, he ends verse 10 with this statement, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. What a great statement this is. This is what God wants for everyone who follows him, to have life to the full. God is not some kind of killjoy who wants us to have a mean, miserable life, hemmed in by rules and regulations, fearful of punishment. No, he wants us to have life to the full. As the Amplified Bible says, to have life in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. So this is the life God offers us as Christians, overflowing, abundant life. As one of the songs the Hamilton Community Gospel Choir sings, "Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell." This is the good news. This is what we invite people to join in with us and draw closer to God. As Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "O taste and see how gracious the Lord is. Blessed are those who trust in him." So there's a couple of points I take from this chapter of John. One of them is when you're in Jesus' flock, it doesn't matter how big the flock is. He knows us all by name. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and as part of his care and love, he lays down his life for the sheep. So as the Good Shepherd, Jesus has set us an example of laying down our lives, that is dying, for someone else, and not necessarily a deserving someone else. We can trust Jesus in all the circumstances of life to lead us and to be with us, whatever trials and tribulations come our way. So to recap, Two things I've focused on from this passage are, firstly, God wants us to have life in all its fullness, and He is the source of our fullness of life. We shouldn't look to other things for fullness of life, but look to God for that. And secondly, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who knows each of us by name. We don't worship an impersonal God, one who is high, distant, and far away like the stars. We have a relationship with God, who is our shepherd, who knows us all by name, knows our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our loves, and cares for us always.